Okay, we left off last week. We were talking a little bit about the sugya of tzeda, and we spoke about the issue of tzad nachash, that the Gemara singles out that if a person wants to trap a snake on Shabbos, so that's technically okay. If the purpose is to prevent the snake from hurting him, from biting him, so that's permissible. So we left hanging last week as to why exactly is that permissible. According to most opinions in the Rishonim, that malacha she'etzich l'gufa is not a nisar deraisa. Whenever I do malacha for a different purpose than was done in the Mishkan, so by definition cannot be a deraisa. So then I understand this didn't quite well, because if the purpose of tzeda in the Mishkan was to use the items that I was trapping, here I'm doing it to remove. That's only a derabbanan, and this is a derabbanan was lifted by makom tzar. You're afraid you're going to get bitten. But you're like the Rambam, that there's an nisar deraisa involved, because malacha she'etzich l'gufa is also in a Torah. So how would we be permitted to violate an otherwise nisar deraisa? So we saw a few different approaches. So there was one approach in some Mishnayim that said that it is a nisar deraisa. The only reason why it's mutar is because of pikuach nefesh. So we said pikuach nefesh. So is it or is it not pikuach nefesh? It's not clear for the Gemara. It doesn't seem to be real pikuach nefesh. So that's what the others explained. Some Mishnayim explained based on the Malach's Gedolos, that although for a yochid maybe it's not a pikuach nefesh, it's just a question of a snake biting me, so I can protect myself, I can run away, I can stay in the house, etc. When you're dealing with a whole group of people, dealing with a tzibur, then you have to be more careful in terms of what constitutes the standards of pikuach nefesh. Hezek harabim. So the hezek harabim, we have to take with such concern, hezek harabim, that according to some Rishonim, may even be elevated to the status of a real potential pikuach nefesh, and therefore you would be permitted to do what would otherwise be a deraisa. But then there are many others who said that wasn't the pshat in the Rambam. But the reason why the Rambam holds that you're allowed to be tzad nachash l'eshchanu is for some technical reason in Hilchos Shabbos, that even according to the Rambam, who's the biggest machmir in Malach she'etzich l'gufa, some of this falls short. So why does this fall short? What is it about tzad nachash l'eshchanu that makes it fall short? So one reason that we suggested was, let's say, if you're Reim, who says that this is not just doing it for the wrong reason. This is the antithesis of the malacha. This is the absolute contrary to what the malacha is all about. The imagery of tzeda is to bring something close to you. I want to trap the animal so that I can get it closer to me to use it. Here, but all I want is to get it as far, far, far away as me from possible. So that's not a malacha shi'etzich l'gufa of tzeda. That's not tzeda. That's the opposite of the malacha tzeda. That was one suggestion that was given. Then we said that others, like Mishnah seems to say, that it's Shalei Kederach, that the Rambam never really permitted you outright to do Tzeda in the normal fashion. You have to do Kelei Achayad. Again, as we always know from the past, whenever things are done Kelei Achayad, that always knocks it down a rung toward the Rabbanan, and then the Mokham Tzar perhaps would be able to permit it. So there's one last Mahalach, at least there are other Mahalachim also, one last Mahalach that we're going to suggest, Mishnah Berurah actually suggests, that maybe the reason why it's Mutter is because the Rambam holds that Nechoshim maybe are not considered to be Yesh B'mino Nitzo. Now, we spoke about this when we introduced the Malach of Tzeda. We said that the Gemara talks about a Ptur of Ein B'mino Nitzo, something that's not normal to trap, as a mosquito, flies, things like that, things that people don't generally trap. Now, people catch flies, mosquitoes, get rid of them, but I'm saying people don't tend to trap these kinds of things to use them. So the Mishnah said Potter. So it was Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos, why is it Potter? The Tosfos says the reason why it's potter is because that's Kli Achayat, that's an abnormal malacha. Even though I'm not doing a mice and my pa'ula is not being done in an abnormal fashion, but since I am doing it on an abnormal item, that's also nichlo with the din of abnormal. It's also called Shalai Kederach. So it's Ein B'mino Nitzo, it cannot possibly be deraisa. So it's always very, very tricky when you draw the line. What's called Ein B'mino Nitzo, Yesh B'mino Nitzo? How many people have to trap it for it to become Yesh B'mino Nitzo? So the Mishnah Berurah suggests that maybe that's a Rambam, that trapping snakes is not begetted the din of Yesh B'mino Nitzo. Therefore, it would at worst be a derabbanan. And again, once we can knock it down to a derabbanan, then in a sense we could be matarit b'makom tzar. So again, these are a lot of different ways and nuances to try to get to the same point. Everyone's trying to get to the same place as to the din is tzad nachash l'ashchanuz mutar. That's the Gemara, Feresh, Rambam, Shacharoch. That's the din. If you go down conventional wisdom, that it's malach she'etzich l'gufa, that's easy. There's nothing much to elaborate upon. But if you go down the Rambam's view, really should be a potential deraisa, so you have to figure out what falls short. Why doesn't it become a nisa deraisa? Either because pikuach nefesh, or shalei kederach, or because it may be no nitzot, what does it say if you're rain? If the antithesis would say the different nuances to knock it out of the regular world of the world of tzeda. some of you are learning the sugyas of tzeda, it's hard for us to know what things are yesh v'nitzemina. These are a lot of things of tzeda. These are things that we're not so familiar with, the whole essence of malachim tzeda. I saw a fascinating picture a couple of days ago of Daf Yomi. They were learning a lot of the sugyas of tzeda recently, the prakim of the end of the end of Oireg and from Shrotzim. So there was a certain Chassidus Shekolel in Eretz Yisrael that invited an expert, a mumche in the field of tzeda, to explain some of the details, some of the metzias. So he was a professional snake catcher. I never remember what the name. I don't know. Maybe someone remembers what the name. What you call a snake catcher? But he was a professional snake catcher, and it was a very, very strange picture. It's a whole bunch of his Chassidus Shavreichim, sitting in Beis Medrash. And you have this didn't look like necessarily the. I'm sure he was a very, very fun person. Amichum tzadikim, leiv mitzvahs kareimah. But I don't know, he didn't exactly give off the impression this snake catcher being like the most yeshivish guy in the world or chassidish guy in the world. But he was demonstrating, and these guys were glued or fascinated watching his snake catching ability. And it reminded me of I think it was my first year in YU when. It must have been at the time when Daf Yomi was learning Meshach Shabbos. It makes sense because my first year in YU was the Daf Yomi Siyum at the beginning of the year. So this must have been the end of the year when they're ready well into Meshach Shabbos. So they must have been learning the sugyas of Ha'oreg. So those who remember a couple of weeks ago from Berakah Oreg. So they're the first block that nobody really knows what's going on with the Shnei Batanivrim, with this, with that, with Malaysia. I mean, I for sure didn't know what was going on. So there was a Dayan, there used to be a Dayan in London, who was a expert in this field of weaving, and he used to go around giving demonstrations with a loom. He would walk around with his portable loom, and he would, with his things and everything. And I remember it was a startup. It was one late night in he did a Reuben Shul. I was thinking, why he came? Very fellow. He came with his loom, with his very, very thick English accent, and he was talking to us about the wolf. I don't know what he was talking about. Again, I have to be honest that I didn't understand any more about Perka Arig after the demonstration, which is so technical and so detailed. He was so excited about his threads. So it reminded me when I saw the picture of the snake catcher giving a shiur. So I guess you have to learn a little mitzvah from Rav and Sanhedrin. That before Rav would pass from Shalz and Hilchos Bechor, Hilchos Movement, he spent a few months with the farmers. So he had to learn some of the mitzvahs before he could pass in the mice. Anyway, so back to our story. So continuing on now with the Malach of Tzeda. So as we mentioned, when we started Tzeda, that for some strange reason, a lot of the lomdos of the klolim of Hilchos Shabbos, Malach Tzeda Gufas, Dabashim Iskavim, Sikresh, a lot of it somehow got snuck into the Malach of Tzeda. So here also, there's another cloud that is not really a tzeda cloud. It's a cloud of kol Torah, kol Hilchos Shabbos, but somehow the sugya appears in the sugyas of tzeda, and that's the issue of shnayim shasa uha. And you have two people combined together to do malacha. So normally, let's say I want to trap an animal, if I close the door of the animal, so I'm the tzad. If I want to carry something, I carry myself. If I want to cook something, I put the pot on the fire myself. We have two people that join forces and do the act of tzeda, the act of atzah, the act of bishul, whatever the malach is. So that's what's called shenayim shasuha. So what is the din of shenayim shasuha? The Gemara quotes a three-way machlekes atanoim in Masech HaShabbos. What's our take on shenayim shasuha? The Gemara says it's all based on psukim, it's all drushes, etc. So what are the three different opinions? So there's one opinion that says that there's no such klal shenayim shasuha. It doesn't mean anything. It means if you did a malach together with somebody else, so you're chayv nizchayv, whoever participated in the malacha is in violation of an issa deraisa, that there is no such p'tur, no such hetter called shnayim shasuha. Then you have another opinion that says that no, there's a gevaldige kula shnayim shasuha, and if and when there were two people who participated in the malacha, so then the potter finished. Ba'asaisa prala shnayim shasuha, two people together, nish malacha finished. End the story. And then the Gemara quotes the third opinion, which is the view that that we paskin, that the Gemara says that the view that we paskin is that it depends. That if it's a kind of a malacha that I could have done myself, it's such an easy thing. Let's say there's an animal in my house, and say that involves me closing the door. I don't need such great help. I can't figure out how to close the door. So if I can do it myself, and I call my friend and say, listen, Ruby, do me a favor, let's hold the door together very slowly, and we're going to close the door together. So that's called Shnayim Shasuha, and that's Potter. That's the Rakhma Pasuk. That's not going to be Chayav and Shabbos. But if it's a kind of a malacha that necessitate shneim shasul. Let's say it's a very, very heavy door to close, or let's say to carry something. So two fellas carry a cup of water in the street together, that's shneim shasul, they're both potter. If two guys carry a couch together, so that's two. Everybody does that way. That's ze'yevshem, ze'yevshem. So if neither of them can carry the couch on their own, they carry it together, that would not be subject to the kula of shneim shasul. So again, we have three different positions in the Tanoim, and all seemingly based on Sukkim. What the status for Shabbat is, either one extreme is that they're always going to be Chayim, the other extreme is always going to be Potter, and the other, in the middle ground, which is going to be Pasul Allah, is that it depends on whether it's possible to do it on your own or not. If it's possible to do it on your own, that's called Shabbat Shasuah being Potter. If it's impossible, then if they combine two forces, then they're both going to be Chayim. What's the nature of this din of Shneim Shasuah? We accept that it exists to some degree. What's the nature of this halacha? So again, the Gemara, you read the Gemara, it sounds like it's just straight up psukim. So most of the Rishonim say that it's more to it than meets the eye. But it's not just psukim. That the psukim or magalatas or the svaras help us arsh psukim, whatever the nature of that relationship between svaras and psukim is. But the bottom line is there's more to it than just arbitrary. It's not just there's a din in the Veltarayim called Koshav Shazuah. It makes sense. It fits into some kind of halachic pattern. So Rashi, on the spot of the sugya, fills in what that halachic pattern is. Rashi says that Shnayim Shazuah is basically a subcategory of Shelo Kederach. It's an abnormal way of doing things. Shelo Kederach, we've discussed so many times. In Hilchos Shabbos, there are actually two parts of Shelo Kederach. There's the famous Egli Tal, where he develops the Yisod about Shelo Kederach, that the Shelo Kederach, in the sense of that the very essence of the Malacha is coming out different. The result of the Malacha just looks fundamentally different. That's one kind of Shelo Kederach. Then there's another kind of Shelo Kederach where mitzana Malacha, nothing's really different. But you as a gavra did it in a different way. You decided to do the Malacha in some ashumtik manner. But if you just focus on the malacha, if you just take a picture of the malacha proper, so nothing's really different. So the Leital says that both of those din were covered by Shelo Kederach. And you have the whole Shtikul Torah to explain why once it's in Hilchos Shabbos, once it's in Kol Torah Kula, whole brisket Torah, whole Razzle Dazzle Torah about two different halachas, two different kinds of halachas of Shelo Kederach. The Leital was not exactly a brisket, he was a Hasidish or Rebbe, he was a Sakach of Rebbe. But he has phenomenal lomdus in the Shabbos. It's become so miskabel in the Olma Yeshivas and the regular standard in the limits of the Shabbos. So a lot of the lomdus comes from the Sefer Reglik Al. I must have told him the story last year when there was a descendant of the Sakach of a Rebbe came to Tinek, this year, I forgot already. He came to Tinek, he was giving out the brachas, and somebody was hakamin, I should go say hello, and get a bracha, and talk. I went to go get my bracha. So I came to, it was the same person, the Sakhach of a Rebbe. So I went to him. He asked me, apparently somebody there said that I would say Shir Yeshiva, whatever, say Shir community. So he started asking me what I was saying Shirim in. So I felt a little funny. I started talking and learning a little bit. And then really the conversation really, really heated up a little bit. We got to do a nice discussion in the sugya in learning. So he was very, very holding. He was totally, totally holding in the sugya that we have some intricate sugya that I was holding at the time. He was really holding in it. So at the end of the conversation, so he said to me that even though he's on, I think from his father's side, from the Ebenezer, but he said to me, this Rebbe said to me, he said, but on my mother's side, I'm descended from the Beis Halevi. So he was trying to explain to me, he has a little bit of both. He has a little bit of the briska touch to it also. So he's trying to explain, but I guess I felt a little bit more at home in terms of talking to him and learning. Anyway, so the Ebenezer himself, the Eletal himself, had a shtickle pre-brisk in him also a little bit. So he says there are two dinim of Shelo Kederach, the Shelo Kederach, the Gaper Shelo Kederach, the Chepsa Shelo Kederach, the Malach, a lot of Shelo Kederach. But when all the dust settles, there's a dinim of Shelo Kederach. And Rashi says in Shabbos that the din of Shneim Shazuah is related to the din of Shelo Kederach, because it's really strange. What Meshugana has two people carrying a cup of water across the street together? You're kind of crazy, you're nuts to do that. So that's, by the way, explains very nicely, according to Rashi, why is it that if you two guys carry a heavy couch together, why are they chayav? Because that's not crazy, that's normal. forget it. If one guy carries a couch, the guy's meshugim. He's going to break his back. If two guys carry it, that's the dark of a couch to carry it. So according to Rashi, it's not just coincidental that sometimes it's Ninim Shnayim Shesu being potter, sometimes being chayav. No, it all boils down to, is it normal? Is it not normal? So if it's normal, so then you're chayav. If it's not normal, then it's potter. So when is it normal? When it's very heavy. When is it abnormal? When it's very light. So according to Rashi, we have a background for Shnayim Shesu, and the whole picture makes sense. The details actually fit nicely into the background. The only thing is that we have to be careful, according to Rashi, not to be guilty a little bit of overkill. Because Rashi made it sound so nice that it's based on Shalai Kederach. So if it's Shalai Kederach, if it's really truly Shalai Kederach, so then what is the money to pass it for? The money is Gzeres HaKosos. And there are Taka some Tanaim who don't buy into it. So Rabbi Meir doesn't accept the Kul of Shalai Shesua. But Rabbi Meir denies Shalai Kederach. That's ridiculous. Everyone agrees there's a din of Shalai Kederach. So those Mishnais, Tam Mishnais, who have a Sechah Shabbos, the guy writes with his left hand, the guy carries in a strange way. Everyone accepts the din of Shalai Kederach. So according to the Rashi, that even though this din is almost like a subcategory, it's like a cousin of Shalai Kederach, but I wouldn't have figured it out on my own. If not for the Pasuk, if I would have just been analyzing the rules of Shalai Kederach, I wouldn't necessarily have drawn the conclusion that this is so Shalai Kederach. So I need a Pasuk to tell me that Shalai Shesu is Potter, but the nature of the Ptur is that the Torah is almost Magala to me, that it's considered to be basically part of Shalai Kederach. So this is tricky. Is it a function of Shalai Kederach? Yes. But is this pure Shalai Kederach that didn't necessitate a pasuk? Probably not. So whatever it is, according to Rashi, the basic din is a cousin of Shalai Kederach, and therefore the details as to when it applies, when it doesn't apply, seem to fit in nicely. But other Rishonim disagree with Rashi. The Ritvan of Shabbos quotes from a Rishon, Moshe Rabbi Yosef. I don't know who that particular Rishon was. Someone from Chachmas Sfarad, someone that Ritva had contact with. So Rabbi Sheva, Rabbi Yosef, he says that this Rabbi Sheva, Rabbi Yosef, is a different beer as to what Shalai Kederach is. I'm sorry, what Shalai Kederach is all about. The Ritva explains that in order to be chayiv in Chashavis, you gotta give it all you got. You have to give if effort. You have to really put kol koicha in. You have to really do the malacha with a wholehearted. Some halachas require more physical effort, some less physical effort, but whatever effort is necessary, I have to be the one to put in that 100% effort. So when you have a shnayim shesu'a, two guys are carrying a cup of water together, so I'm not exerting my full effort, I'm only exerting my half effort. So I'm only participating halfway in the malacha. So I only gave half of myself. So that's not called a losasek of malacha. I didn't do a complete asiyah. Not like Rashi says that it's an asiyah, but it's a asiyah shalai kederach. According to the relation with Yosef and the Ritva, it's nishkin falasi. It's a chatzi effort. It's a chatzi paula. Mashein kein, when you have something that's ze'i epsher, it's a heavy couch. So I have to exert my full effort. The only problem is exerting my full effort won't get the couch across the street. The couch is too heavy for me. So I got to get two guys, I got to get 10 guys, 100 guys in to pull this couch together, each one exerting their full effort. So according to the Ritva, it's a different twist. It's not a din of Shalai Kederach. It's a din of a chatzi asiyah, so to speak. Now, this may smack of a different principle. This may smack of a term called chatzi shir. Now, we all know that chatzi shir is something we're familiar with. We spoke about chatzi shir many, many times. Chatzi shir applies first and foremost to machalos asurim, so we eat half a kedayis of chazi, half a kedayis of chumot pesach. But according to some Rishonim, it applies to Shabbos also. Minatar Rashi writes in Shabbos Tapayin that if I cook half a gregeris, so that's Chatzi Shir. Chatzi Shir also Minatar. So it's also not going to be Chayav. If I don't cook the full amount, I don't carry the full amount, I'm not going to be Chayav. So this is a tricky kind of a Chatzi Shir, because here, for the volume of the Malacha, the whole item was done. Say, if I carry a cup of water across the street, that's a Shir Sholem. Mishnah says in Shabbos, but the shiur from Mashkin, carrying food, carrying liquids, etc. Each item has their own particular shiur to it. So when I carry the right amount of food, I'm doing a shiur shalom mitzad achevza, but I'm almost in a sense not doing the shiur shalom mitzad agavra. So that's also like a shtigl chatzi shiur type of halacha. Again, it's not something I would have figured out on my own. I would not have known this on my own. I need a pasuk to tell me that it's true. But once the pasuk tells me that's true, then I can kind of go back to the model a little bit and say that maybe it's ke'ein the din of chatzishim. So we have two different takes in Rishonim as to what exactly the basic mindset of the Ptur of Shavuot is all about. Is it rooted in the dinim of Shalei Kederach, or is it more rooted in the dinim of the Chatzis Shir? And again, both of these biurim explain why, if I do it together with somebody else, when both parties are really needed, why everything changes, why that will in fact be chayav. When we deal with the sugya of Shnayim Shesu'a, so the sugya appears in the Gemara, at least we're learning it, it appears in the sugya of Hilchos Shabbos. One can raise the question, does this sugya appear outside of Hilchos Shabbos? Is this a localized in Hilchos Shabbos? So this is always a tricky question. Whenever you have a certain dinim that we've been focusing on so much over the last 2 years, we've been talking about Malach Shetzich Lagufan, Dabar Shem Biskavens, and Shalai Kederechs, and Chatzishir, so many different Peturim that we find in Hilchos Shabbos. Do those Peturim necessarily carry over to Kol HaTorah Kulo or not? So the answer to that question is sometimes yes and sometimes no. There are certain dinim that we call dinim Kloyim, but these are dinim that permeate Kol HaTorah Kulo. Let's say, for example, the dinim Dabar Shem Biskavens. If I do X, there's a chance that Y may happen. So the Gemara says that's not just a Ptur of Shabbos, that's a Ptur Kol HaTorah Kulo also. The Mishnah says that for a Nazir, if a Nazir is allowed to rub his hair, he's allowed to wash his hair, even though there's an outside chance that he may pull out a hair. So that's okay. So Dabar Shem Biskavens is mutter in Kol HaTorah Kulo. Let's say on the other hand, Malach Shetzich Lagufa, if I do a Malacha and I know exactly what I'm doing, but I'm doing it for a different purpose. So it's not that I'm not sure the Malach is going to happen. I know the Malach is going to happen. It's just that I'm not interested in that outcome. I have a totally different agenda. So that din of Malach HaShetzich Lagufa, that is only a din in Shabbos. The Mishnah might explain that that's not a din in Kol HaTorah Kulo. When it comes to the din of Shaloi Kederech, so we said according to Degel Tal, sometimes there is a din in Kol HaTorah Kulo, sometimes there's not. Chatzis Shir, there is a din in Kol HaTorah Kulo. So again, it's always hard to know. You have to learn a lot of sugyas in Shabbos and other areas of Malach to figure out whether those particular din carry over or not. So here we can raise the same question when it comes to other areas of Halacha, would there be a din of Shnayim Shesu'u or not? Well, that's unclear what the din should be. So there is a Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin, the Vayit Ches. The Gemara talks about two people killing somebody together. Two guys get together and they both stab together, they both bang over there together. So the Gemara has a whole discussion about the Adi Chayiv or not, and the Gemara needs Psukim. In the middle of that discussion, the Gemara quotes Psukim, Ishkiyachim Kol Nefesh Adam, what does that mean? How do you interpret it? So here, somehow the Gemara ignores the whole sugya of Shnayim Shesu'ah. So that lets some Achronim to explain that the type of Shnayim Shesu'ah is not really a din Kol HaTorah Kulo, it doesn't affect Kol HaTorah Kulo. It's a localized din in Hilchos Shabbos. If that's the case, that it really is a localized din in Hilchos Shabbos, then maybe one can go even one step further. When you have this like localized dinim in Hilchos Shabbos, one is asking for the question, when you have a localized dinim in Hilchos Shabbos, does that mean that it's on a level of the Araisa, it's totally mutter? It means the Torah is saying this is not Lasaska Malacha. This is missing one of the major conditions of Lasias Malacha, and El Zel Lo Nema Betar Lasaska Malacha. What do I say now? Of course you did a Malacha, Elohah. In order to be Chayav Skila, to be so there are certain conditions after it, man. And if one or two of those technical conditions are missing, so then you violate the Nisa Deraisa, albeit you're not going to be punished by it. So something can still be a Nisa Deraisa and Potter Balasa. Usually we think the term Potter Balasa means Potter Balasa, Potter means Avalasa Medirabana. So not always. Like we said before, Bechatzishir, Rashi holds that Chatzishir on Shabbos is Potter Balasa Medaraisa. Just because something is part of a loss doesn't always mean that it's only a derabban. So that's the famous approach that's taken by the Nesivis. So he suggests that this heter, Shnayim Shesu'u on Shabbos, first of all, only applies in Shabbos. Doesn't address other Yisurim in the Torah. And even in Shabbos, it's so limited in nature, says the Nesivis, that all it means is that we're not going to give you skila, we're not going to give you karis, we're not going to bring a korban if you did something derech shnayim shesu'ah. The Lashon HaGemara is potter. But to say that it's a mutter, the guy wants to know minatar, comes to ask Moshe Rabbeinu. I want to know, Moshe Rabbeinu, can me and my friend carry this cup of water across the street? So the answer is no. But that's still an issur d'oraisa, even though it's potter. I will also get d'oraisa. But the issur d'oraisa lo yotza. That's the famous vart for the Nesivis. So others disagree with this. Other Rechavim say no, it's not true. That Shnayim Shesa'ua is on a level of the Raisa, Mamish Mutter. So what should that depend on? Whether Shnayim Shesa'ua should be Nisit Raisa, just be Potter, whether it's Mutter Lagamri. So maybe it's a little bit of a throwback to what we said before, the Machlokes Rashi and the Ritva, as to what the nature of the Ptur Shnayim Shesa'ua is in the first place. But if you hold that Shnayim Shesa'ua is basically a Shalak Yederach Tekedin, so Shalok Yederach is Mutter Ben Atorah. If you ask my Shabbat, can I write with my left hand? The answer is yes. If you ask my Shabbat, can I carry something inside my hat and which is around? The answer is yes. The things that are done, Shalok Yederach, on not just Potter of Allah, they're Mamish Mutter Midderais, but they're Abad Rasa, but Midderais and the Mamish Mutter. So if you're going to tell me that this din is rooted in Shalok Yederach, it's basically a cousin of Shalok Yederach, so Shalok Yederach is Mutter. Unless you don't want to overdo it, because remember we said that it's Shalai Kederach, but it's not real Shalai Kederach. If it would be real Shalai Kederach, then you wouldn't need a pasuk to be reminded from a korban. So it's a quasi Shalai Kederach. So maybe real Shalai Kederach is not Hamutu L'chadchila Min HaTorah. This make-believe Shalai Kederach, maybe it still remains in the Sederaisa. So you can't tell 100%, not 100% clear. But maybe you could argue that if the nature of the essence of this din is a Shalai Kederach, the Kedin, so Shalai Kederach lends itself to being a Mutter Legamrei, at least Midaraisa. Whereas if it's more rooted like the Ridvan, Yosef said, that it's rooted in it, it's like a Chatzi, Pa'ula Chatzi, I say Chatzi Shia kind of halacha. Chatzi Shia we get very, very weary with. Chatzi Shia, at least the point of some, is also in a Torah, even on Shabbos. So again, it's not Muchoch that these two shadows are dependent one on the other. It's just food for thought that we know for a fact, as Machlokes Rashi and the Ritva, what the essence of the Ptur of Shnayim Shesa'ua is. And we know for a fact, as Machlokes Acharonim, whether Shnayim Shesa'ua is an Issa Deraisa or not. Maybe it's possible that these two issues are related to one another. Any of this really matter for us, Lamaisa? At the end of the day, we're not going to do it. No one's going to Lamaisa do Shnayim Shesa'ua, so it becomes very, very much Lamaisa. It becomes very, very relevant Lamaisa in the following sense. We spoke about this many times. Now, the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, that when you're taking care of a yoledes on Shabbos, yoledes is a chashash to guf nefesh. So when you're taking care of a woman when she's in active labor, so you're allowed to do whatever you have to do for her, but you should try to be mimayim. Whatever you can do derech shino, you have to do derech shino. You have to try to do things in a derabbanan way rather than violating chol Shabbos derech. If all else fails, so then no choice. Of course, you have to be mechal Shabbos for her. We treat your yoledes as guf nefesh. Yoledes is considered to be a status of guf nefesh. And if a person doesn't take it seriously, that's a tremendous zilzal. It's a zilzal that didn't go on that, which was, as we said many, many times, is of course a very, very huge problem. That's why I remember years ago, somebody once told me that someone in the family was in labor on Shabbos. It was late in the afternoon on Shabbos. And they said, oh, we're not going to call the doctor. Again, I don't know what the details were, but they made it sound like that. If it would have been a Tuesday, they would have already gone to the hospital. No, we're not going to present. We're not going to let the Shabbos is over. So when the person was telling me of the story, they said that we waited and we didn't go to the doctor until our Rabbeinu Tam's man was over. That was the last thing they told me the story. So I remember thinking, I didn't want to say it. It was disrespectful to argue with the person, but I remember thinking to myself that was, even though Baruch Hashem, all's well that ends well, the baby was born and healthy, wealthy, wonderful, great, but that's what they did was clearly like aloha. In Hilchos Megillah, So a person has to follow what the dinamar. 99% of the often, issue, you have to do things at Shabbos and Pekuch Nefesh, and you go, well, no, so that Shabbat it wasn't necessary to do it. That the person really wasn't having a heart attack. They were having a stomach ache. Okay? But that doesn't interest me. If Lefi Ra'isenei HaRofim Lefanenu, or if there's no doctor in front of me, so the fias faithless that we have, this appears to be a potential emergency. So the din is, you have to do what you have to do. And then even if it turns out that it was a false alarm, that's great. The best things we want are false alarms. We don't want to have real alarms. We want to have false alarms. So Gloy Milson was a false alarm. So that was a false alarm. So a person shouldn't say, Baruch Hashem, that I didn't drive to the hospital on Shabbos because it turned out it was only a stomach ache anyway. No. What you did was a terrible avera. You were involved for the mitzvah of Chayben. You put someone's life into zakana. The fact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu had rachamim on you and it turned out it was a stomach ache, not a heart attack, so that's nothing to what you did. What you did was mamash avera. You're a bal avera. You did a terrible thing. So the same thing over here. When a person doesn't do what they're supposed to do, and nefesh, and nothing happens bad, Baruch Hashem, there's no bad results. had no impact on what they did. They have to clap a chayin Yom Kippur for the terrible, terrible of Erev Zilzal and Pikuach Nefesh. And the fact that Baruch Hashem, nothing happened, that's great. Who wants something terrible to happen to anybody? Of course, we're happy that nothing terrible happens. But the Zilzal and Pikuach Nefesh is a terrible, terrible, terrible of Erev, even if nothing happens from it. Anyway, going back to that story. So when it comes back to this Yaledes, so the Gemara says you have to try to do things kalechiyat if you can. So there's a Shalom Rishayim about whether that carries over to a regular Chayla or not. So there are more Paschals like the Ramban that even by real Chayla, even a real Chayla Shesh B'Sakana, the Ramban holds maybe a little bit different, but we hold that even by real Chayla Shesh B'Sakana, if Efshul Shalos B'Shana, you have to try to do things kalechiyat. So the post is quick to point out, that's assuming it's not going to interfere with care of the chayla. Let's say a guy has to undergo an emergency surgery on Shabbos. So the surgeon is very firm. He's going to say, I'm holding like the Ramban. I'm going to hold the scalpel with my left hand. So please find a different surgeon. So that's let's say a guy, there's no ambulance. He's got to drive to the hospital himself. He's going to drive with his foot on the steering wheel. So please find someone else to drive with. So those are silly things. You can't do something that's kaliachayat. It's going to goof or lead to more sakana. But if it's not going to lead to more sakana, then you have to do it kaliachayat. So some place can say that sometimes it's hard to maneuver to do things just logistically, it's hard to do. So some place can come up with a great idea. They said, do it shnayim shesu'ah. Instead of a klachiyat, have two people do it together. So let's say you have to press a button. So it's hard to press the button. It's not going to press with the back of the hand. So have two people press the button together. Two people should do the melacha together. So that's a shnayim shesu'ah. So that itself will knock it down to be a derabanan. So the same way the Gemara says that, L'chadchili is supposed to knock it from the raisa to the rabbanon using the vehicle of shinui. So many people can say, what did Nami? If it's easy to do it, they shnayim shazua, so do it, shnayim shazua. And that'll also knock it down to the rabbanon. So the Nesivus disagrees with that. The Nesivus say that doesn't work. According to the Nesivus, shnayim shazua is still in the raisa. It's a deraisa without a chiyav. So again, if you have a choice between doing it with one person or two people, there is no way to do it kileachayad. It's impossible. So then even the Nesivus would concede, do it with two people rather than one, because at least it's potter of a loss of the rice if there's no chiyuv. But if there are three options, either do it in a totally normal fashion by yourself, or do it two people together, or do it kaliachayad. So many people can say we should opt for the kaliachayad. Don't do it with the shnayim shesu'ah, because the shnayim shesu'ah may still be a deraisa. And according to others, chayotim and others who say no. Shnayim shesu'ah is mamash and outright the rabbanon. It's no less of a derabbanon than kaliachayad. And if kaliachayad is a good option, then shnayim shesu'ah is a good option as well. So yeah, yesh v'yesh. So that machlekes and nesivus and others about what the din of shnayim shesu'ah is it a deraisa with a p'tur, or is it not a deraisa altogether? That does chap enough given ladin in terms of the hierarchy of doing things within the sugya of pikuach nefesh. So go upon him. We have the basic sugya of shnayim shesu'ah, three opinions in the Roim, the basic split between heavy things and light things, the machlekes Rashi and the Ritva, what the nature of the din is all about, does it carry over to other areas of halacha, does it result in it being not necessarized altogether, but potential of kaminas in terms of chol, hopefully that's next week. So we'll continue into the next sugya. I think we're going to move already next week into the next malacha. Okay, everyone have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Hi, Rabbi.
Take care.